So now that we have facilitated the handling of strings and instead deal with unique identifiers for each string instance, we can focus on the actual binding of users to declarations. Yeah, and the core concept for that is covered in the topic of symbol tables. Yeah. So what we want to do for checking correct usage of variables, meaning variable usage is following its declaration, what we want to do is we traverse the syntax tree in a suitable sequence so that the declaration is actually visited before it is used, and the currently visible declaration is the last one visited. So we need to find the declaration before the usage. And turns out that for a C-like language, this is a perfect opportunity to specify the symbol tables within an L-attributed grammar. Yeah. And the equation system for a basic block must then make sure to add and remove identifiers to the symbol table management according to what the underlying declarations do. Yeah. So what happens in order to manage the declarations that are visible is that there are several ways of doing that, but essentially what we do is that for each identifier, we, for example, could manage a stack of declarations, and whenever we visit a declaration, we push it onto the stack belonging to its identifiers with the meaning that the topmost declaration is the one that is currently visible, and as soon as we leave the scope that belongs to that declaration, we again remove the declaration from the stack, thus rendering the formerly shadowed, possibly shadowed version of this identifier's declaration now visible again. Yeah, so with that we can pay respect to this mechanism of visibility and shadowing. Yeah. So whenever we then visit during the run through the syntax tree a usage of an identifier, we just pick the topmost declaration from the stack, because that is the declaration that is visible for the current location in the code. And well, in case that the stack for the identifier is empty, we have actually found an error in the program, an error due to an undeclared identifier. Yeah. So let's have a look at an example of a declaration use analysis via a table of stacks. So here, what we have as general data structure is a table where we have for each string we have its identifier that we have computed in the scanner, and with that we then analyze the declarations and usages of these variables. So in general, when we start this analysis, there is no declaration valid for each of these names. So the whole table of stacks does only have empty stacks so far. Yeah. So at the beginning of the program, there's just empty stacks. But then quickly, when we go through the syntax tree of the program in our L-attributed fashion, we will encounter the first declaration. Yeah. So this one usually. And the program state then behind that, which would be on the program line here, we have passed this declaration. So what we have then usually added to our attributes there is that the declarations for A and B have been performed in line 3, for example. So declarations for A and B, whenever we find some instance of A or B, are now referring to line 3. And this is immediately important whenever we then meet the use of B, for example, because this is now linked to the, or bound to whatever we find on top of the pushdown for B, which is line 3 here. Yeah. Same is for the occurrence of B here. We again have a look up at the table for B and then realize this is bound to location 3. Yeah. But then there is another block, and in there's another declaration. So in there we pass another declaration here that declares variables A and C, and A has been declared already. So what happens is that the new declaration for A is pushed on top of the old declaration that has already been there, and for C there's a new declaration pushed on its corresponding stack. Yeah. So from now on, when we then analyze, for example, this occurrence A, this will go to the according pushdown or stack here, and we will see the topmost thing is here declaration in line 6. So this binds to this declaration. Same is for this one here. This looks up A in there, sees declaration in line 6, which is this one here. Oh, no. A, of course. So, sorry. It's still this one there. But then there is the occurrence of C, which is looked up in there. And we see this is going to line 6. Same for this one here. Also looks up in here, goes to line 6. And only finally there is a lookup of B, which is performed through here. And here the topmost thing is the declaration in line 3, which is this one here. Well, again, this one here. Okay. So then we leave this scope, since the block has ended here. So this means that these newly added declarations disappear again, and instead we pass another declaration, which is this one down there, which means that there is this new declaration added to the stack for C, and then we have the same game as before. C is looked up in there, mapped to location here. A is looked up, topmost occurrences in 3. So this is actually the declaration from over here. And what else do we have? It's this one here again goes to 11. So this, and B1 here is looked up, goes in there, which is also declaration from 3. So this is this declaration. And finally, when we leave that scope, again C goes out of scope, and thus we reach this part over here, where it's just only A and B is in scope anymore, and in there we see that A is looked up here, which goes to declaration in line 3, and B is looked up here, goes to declaration in line 3, like this, and same for this one. Yeah. So this is the way that the declaration use analysis is performed. Via these tables of stacks. So all in all, if you then start storing these bindings for each of these variables, you then get attributes for the bindings of identifiers in your syntax tree, and with that you can then start outfitting your syntax tree with the declaration use information, like for example this one here, which is the at least a part of the syntax tree that belongs to the fraction of code that we see on the left. So the most important parts here are the correspondences of the then branch of the if and the else branch here, because why are they so important? Well, you see that there's two assignments in there that look syntactically the same. There you have them in the syntax tree part. However, semantically, they are doing different things since you have different variables in scope for them. So with during the declaration use analysis with your table of stacks, you will have created the appropriate backlinks to their declarations. So you see that in the case for the first assignment, you will have associated the C with the local declaration in the if branch, whereas the B declaration comes from the command parent scope, like C came from here and B came from the parent scope, whereas in the second assignment, although you have referred to the same B from the same parent scope, the C reference goes to its own local C, like this one here. Yeah? Okay. So, this is just one way of implementing symbol tables. There is also other ideas that you have. One problem that you might see in that, for example, is that when you're losing, when you can, for example, use not only the separate pushdowns for each of these identifiers. Instead, you could also, for example, use a generic list to store all the declarations together with markers that indicate where the boundaries of the lists are. So, for example, you can do implementations where you store, for example, in front of the if statement of the last example, the declarations of A and B, and then for the then branch, introduce a new subpart of the same list that is separate with some kind of marker. Here it's done by color, but in principle it would have a separator element in there. Same for the else branch. You would mark those subparts differently in order to be able to remove the relevant parts whenever your scope goes or whenever a particular declaration goes out of scope. Yeah? So another thing, instead of lists of symbols, what would also be possible is to use a list of hash tables. So you would, in general, just add a new hash table to your list whenever you enter a new scope and just remove them whenever you leave, and then just consider querying all the hash tables in your list for particular occurrences of strings in order to obtain a declaration. The first hash table that answers gives you your most recent declaration that you saw. Yeah. An even more elegant solution to that would be to resort to so-called persistent trees. This would be trees that that try to reuse as much of their internals as possible. So instead of pushing new hash tables and querying all the complete list whenever you have an occurrence, or cloning your hash table and having to go through all the entries in your old hash table, you can just use persistent tree implementations of hash tables, where with an action of clone, you essentially just clone the faceting data structure, and only on change the relevant parts of the hash table that actually are modified during the change are duplicated, and all the rest is still kept in the data structure. And with something like that, you can very cheaply implement this adding of new scopes and removing old scopes, and get a quite efficient implementation for symbol tables.